Welcome to Real Life. We love you so much. God bless you. My name is Pastor Jonathan, and I am the student ministry pastor here at North Highland Church. We love you, too. We are Real Life Columbus. Who had a good spring break? Y'all are back to school. You're like, I hate school, right? Welcome back. We missed you so much. If you didn't get to come over to our house last week, we missed you very much. But we're glad you're back in the house. I want to give a shout out to Real Life Mid. Come on, let's give it up for our middle school students that are with us tonight. Tonight, I'm excited to preach. I'm excited about what the Lord is about to do. Are you ready, Real Life? Come on, let's get ready. Father, one more time, we posture our hearts to be attentive to your word. So have your way in Jesus' name, and everybody said. Tonight is our last night of everybody, but I've come to encourage everybody. Tonight is a night of encouragement. If you walked in discouraged, with the Spirit of the living God is about to lift you up. Man, if you came in defeated and desperate because everything seems to be crumbling around you, I'm calling you to be reminded where your help comes from. And your help comes from the Lord. The Bible says that the righteous can run to God and be safe. Amen? So it's going to be an encouraging night tonight. God is the lifter of our heads, and he wants me to remind everybody who is about to quit, who's about to give up, who's about to give in, because things are really hard right now. He's called me to tell you tonight, you're braver than you believe. You're stronger than you seem. You're smarter than you think, and you're loved more than you'll ever know. You're stronger, you're braver, you're smarter in your love tonight. Amen? I want to thank you for being here tonight. We are excited about what God's going to do. I don't know what you're facing right now. There's so many stories in this room. There's so many heartbreaking, heart-wrenching circumstances that I know you're facing. I don't know what you are dealing with on a personal level, but I've come tonight to tell you, you can do this. You can do this. You've got to get it in your spirit tonight. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Come on, somebody needs to get that in your soul. You got to get that tenacity. The dreams you will hold on to are the dreams you'll see fulfilled. But the things that you let go of and give up on, man, God can't help those. He can only help a fighter. Tonight, he's calling us to fight. He's calling us to get up on the inside. He's calling us to be unmovable when the enemy comes and tries to attack our lives. Amen? The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy, his mentee, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. It says this, and hopefully, there we go. We got it. Awesome. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. No matter what you're facing, keep a clear mind. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Man, things are going to get tough, is what Paul is saying. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. And as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. That's kind of depressing, but he was old. I have fought the good fight. Hear those words. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful, and now a prize awaits me. Man, if you don't give up or give in, there is a prize that is coming for your life. Come on, Real Life, get excited about his word. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to us on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, Paul said. The prize is for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. All of us who don't give up. All of us who say, you know what, I'm going to finish the race that's in front of me. We got a prize. God wants everybody to finish and everybody to finish strong. Amen? This is the final week of our Everybody series. It's been awesome. Who's liked it? You enjoyed it? It's been good? I've loved it. We've talked about unity and about issues that affect everybody, and tonight is not going to be different. Tonight, I believe God wants us to be encouraged to finish and to finish strong. And we're in a season right now where we can literally see the finish line. The finish line is so close. But if we give up short of the finish line, man, we will ruin some things. Class of 2018, can you make some noise for me, please? Hallelujah. May is right around the corner. Y'all better get more excited than that. You're about to get out of high school. Praise the Lord. The finish line is so close. But y'all better believe if you give up now, you're not going to graduate. Tonight, I've come to inspire. Where's my seniors? Raise your hand. I see you. I love you. You're awesome. But guess what? You've got barely a month and a half to change your high school. You've got a responsibility and a calling, and you better finish strong. You've got an influence on your life. You've been there longer than everybody else. You have been called to lead, so lead. It's time to step up. It's not time to back down. Just because the finish line is close, man, y'all know what senioritis is, right? Hallelujah. Some of y'all eighth graders got senioritis already. It's that when something gets so close, man, you want to give up and give up and give in, right? Tonight I'm here to encourage somebody. Don't count the days. Make the days count. Don't count the days. Make the days count, seniors. You've got to step it up. Man, we've got a short window of opportunity, and it's your time. It's your time to lead. It's your time to be used by God in a powerful way. Don't count the days. Make the days count. Tonight, I believe it's not just about you finishing, but about everybody finishing. I want you seniors to finish and finish strong. I want you eighth graders to make it to high school, praise God. I want you to make it. But I also want you to make sure that you're not just responsible for yourself, but you want everybody to finish with you. That's a responsibility we should all feel. Man, Paul was telling Timothy, I have run the race. I finished the good fight, and I did not give up. I did not quit. I did not back down when the struggle came, and I remained faithful. That's what Paul said to Timothy. But here's the deal. Everybody struggles with temptation to quit short of the finish line. Everybody struggles with the temptation to quit short of the finish line. It comes to everybody at some level. See, I work out. Praise God. Your youth pastor is swole. I worked out with Dakota today. He is tired because I worked him hard. And I enjoy working out. And I've got some motivations as to why I love to work out. My first motivation is I've got an 8-year-old son. And his name is Damien. And if you've ever seen him, his 8-year-old self looks like he's going on like 12. Or he is huge. This little boy is massive. He's always been in the 98th percentile of his size. He is big, he knows it, and he wants to take his daddy down. He eats just as much as I do. It's ridiculous. He is burning a hole in my credit card. It is crazy because he does not stop, and he wants to wrestle. And my motivation in working out, I'm doing bench press, and I'm thinking to myself, when my son wants to wrestle, I want to take him down. I don't ever want him to grow into an adult-sized human being and think that he can take his daddy. And I know that it's going to take a lot of hard work. That's a motivating thing for me. I don't want my son to think that he could ever take me. Praise the Lord. When you're a dad, you'll understand. For the gentlemen. I guess the ladies, I'm sorry. I love you. Gender inclusive, sorry. I'm also motivated by the fact, the second motivation that I have working out is I've got a princess. Her name is Sophia. And Sophia is the most beautiful girl next to her wife, which is the queen. Because Jubilee is queen, and she is smoking hot, praise the Lord. And Sophia is beautiful, and I work out because I want to one day walk my daughter down the aisle. And there's going to come a day, maybe when she's 45, I don't know, when she will want to marry the luckiest man on the face of the planet, except for me, because I got married to her mommy. There's going to come a day when she's going to look to her daddy to walk her down the aisle. And when that happens, I want her to be proud of her dad. I want her to look at me and say, man, my dad looks good. He is old, but he looks good. And I want her soon to be husband to be afraid of me. That's a motivation of mine. Another motivation of mine is this. It's real simple. It's a stress reliever. Man, sometimes y'all stress me out. And I don't want to take it out on you. So I take it out on the weight room. Praise the Lord. I hit the weights, and I hit them hard. Every time I lift weights, I work out, and I run. I have a routine. I lift weights, and then I run. And running, I've come to realize running is such a mental exercise. Any track runners in the room? Anyone run track? That's crazy. Jubilee and I always have this going debate, and I'm not going to say what side I'm on, but we kind of debate from time to time whether track is actually a sport or not. And I'm just going to say, man, running is hard. If you're a runner, man, you've got a tough mental capacity, because when you start running, I get on the treadmill, and I'm going to brag a little bit. I run a sub-8-minute mile every time. Sub-8 minute, for those who don't know, that means below 8 minutes. Today, it was 7 minutes, 56 seconds. Praise the Lord. So I get sub-8-minute mile every time I run. And mentally, I have to run fast, or I have to run hard. Otherwise, I'm going to quit, because it's hard. I set distance markers every time I hit a goal. Here's what I do. I get on the treadmill, I set the speed, and then when I get to a tenth of a mile, I increase the speed. When I get to a 20th of a mile, I increase the speed again. Because here's what my mind is thinking. I'm thinking to myself, I got to get to my next goal quicker so that I can get this junk over with, because it hurts, right? Can I? Y'all, anybody hate running like I do? Praise the Lord. Here's the thing. I have found, and I've realized, I work out about 3 to 4 times a week if I'm doing good. And I have found that every time that I get to the 7/10 of a mile or the 8/10 of a mile mark, almost to the finish line, everything, absolutely everything in me wants to give up. Everything in me wants to quit. And that's where we're at in our semester right now. We're about 75-80% done, and you can see the finish line in front of you, and everything in you, I'm guessing some of us, everything in us wants to quit. Man, many times what's happening in the physical actually parallels what's happening in the spiritual. I would be lying to you if I said running was easy, but I would also be lying to you if I said growing spiritually is always easy. Man, there is pain in the process between when you start and when you finish anything significant in your life. There is pain in the process between when you start and when you finish anything significant in your life. There's going to be a moment when you and I will want to quit. But I've come to tell somebody, many of you seniors can't get a high school diploma without enduring the pain of a senior project. Amen? Those of you trying to advance to high school, eighth graders, tests and GPAs do matter. You've got to pass the test in order to go to the next grade. Studying can be painful. Can I get a witness? It's hard. Here's another example. Man, y'all can't get a paycheck unless you do some work at your job. Here's what I've come to know as an adult. If you're not willing to go through some pain, you won't reach the reward. If you won't go through the pain, you won't get to your reward. Paul said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I've run the race, and I'm about to receive a reward. God wants us to finish, but he also wants to reward us. Man, if Jubilee and I would not have 3 beautiful children without going through the pain of 9 months of pregnancy and childbirth, it was hard. Man, I did absolutely nothing, y'all. It was difficult. Man, when she was hungry and wanted stuff, I got to eat all I wanted. I love pregnancy. Praise the Lord. She's never getting pregnant again. Hallelujah. But it was hard for Jubilee, but it was the best reward of our lives. Those kids, those children are our calling. They're the best thing, best accomplishment we've ever had. Man, our interpersonal relationships won't go deep until we fight through some painful experiences with one another. Gentlemen, we're kind of weird as guys. Sometimes it takes a fist fight to know who your best friend is, guys. You ever gotten a fight with one of your friends, and now you have so much more respect for one another because you just dotted one another's I's. You just went all out. I keep doing this during this series. I'm not condoning violence. But something in a man connects whenever you fight with another man. It's weird. You become best friends. I believe we're getting close to a finish line this semester. And everybody has the option to finish, but now is the time that everybody needs to dig deep and have a never give up mindset. I hope you heard that. Never give up. Somebody say it with me. Never give up. Praise God. That's what God wants to do in our hearts tonight. When I get to that stage in the middle of a run and the finish line is close and I know it, it's natural to feel like I've already done enough. 7/10 of a mile, that's fine. I'm doing awesome. By the time I'm at 7/10 to 8/10 of a mile, I'm thinking to myself, my lungs are hurting. I can't even breathe. I'm like struggling. My muscles are convulsing. I'm in pain. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm soaked in sweat because I sweat a lot. It's weird. It's gross. And I'm running and I'm at that moment where I'm wanting to quit. And I'm thinking to myself, man, none of my friends that are my age are doing this. Man, none of my friends look as good as I do. Praise the Lord. I am doing this and I'm doing good. So why don't I just give myself a break and stop before I get to the finish line? It happens all the time. I've gotten this far, so why don't I just quit? And I think if we're honest, I think that's what we do with our spiritual goals as well. Man, we got this far, so I'm done. That's enough. Man, none of my friends are praying like I pray. None of my friends are coming to real life consistently, but I am. So I might as well just think that's enough. But God has put a race in front of you that you don't compare to anyone else. God has put a race for you to finish. And it may be different from anyone else's, but God wants you to finish your race. Some practical examples of how we give up short before the finish line. District Fine Arts is about to happen April 13th and 14th. I know you guys are practicing so hard. You're putting work and effort into it. But here's the thing. You've practiced over and over and over, and the mindset is going to creep into your mind, especially when your teammates get on your last nerve this week. And you're going to think to yourself, man, we've done enough. We've got 3.5 minutes done. Why don't we just wing the rest? Guess what? We're going to be the best at district anyways if we don't even do anything more. So why don't we just give up? God has not called you to stop. God has called you to finish. So get up on the inside, Fine Arts. God wants you to show up and show out on April 13th and 14th. I am excited to get up and cheer your name when you get merit after merit after merit because you are the best, because you chose not to give up. You chose to finish strong. That is good preaching. Hallelujah, Fine Arts. But here's what I've realized. Success that is not your best is really not success. Success that is not your best is really not success. So if you win and you didn't give your best, man, that's not real. That's a counterfeit. You're fooling yourself and you're fooling everybody else. And you're going to know the difference. You're going to know whether you gave your best or whether you gave half or 70%. Man, we compare ourselves to others and say things like, I'm outperforming everybody. I'm doing these things right. I'm doing this, and this right, so I might as well catch a break and slow down. But when the finish line is right in front of you, man, I've come to remind myself in the middle of a run, I have to remind myself in the middle of a run that I am here, and I'm here to remind us that we're not called to quit real life. Everybody is called to finish. Success in life comes when you simply refuse to give up. Success in your walk with Jesus comes when you're willing and ready to give your best even when it hurts. Success happens when you set goals that are so strong that when obstacles and opposition come your way, when people try to hate on you, when people try to stop you from getting to your goals, man, that only becomes fuel to your fire to not give up. That's when true success starts to happen in people's lives. Man, we need to realize this real life. Many times the only way to achieve results or success is to push through the enormous adversity that is going to come our way. Some of you are called to great things. God has placed a high calling on your life, and that means the enemy is going to throw absolutely everything he can to stop you. And when he does that, many times the only way to achieve results or success is to push through that pain. And tonight, God wants to encourage us to finish and finish strong. In God's word, we find this man, and he was asking Jesus, how do I finish? He asked him that question, and the story goes like this in Matthew chapter 19. It says, just then a man came to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? He was saying, how do I finish? Eternal life is the ultimate finish line. And why do you ask, Jesus said, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. And in that statement, Jesus was saying, I am God, because I'm the only one who's good around here. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, you shouldn't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, Don't give a false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this joker said one of the craziest statements. He said, Jesus, I've done that. I have kept all of these. What do I still lack? That joker was like, man, I've done that my whole life. The translation literally is like he was saying, I've done that my entire life. And Jesus the whole time knew, man, I'm the only one who's ever done that, not you. And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, if you want to finish, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And one of the saddest parts of Scripture, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had a great deal of wealth. And when Jesus took this as an opportunity to share with his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for someone who thinks they've already arrived to finish. There's a huge contrast between the two scriptures we've looked at tonight. Paul is telling Timothy and saying to him, I've did it. I finished. I've fought the fight. I've run the race, and I've finished strong. And then we have this rich young ruler who walks away depressed because he emotionally could not pay the price it took to finish. He walked away saying that's too much to ask. I hope tonight this helps us realize that finishing what you start brings satisfaction, but giving up too early brings regret. Finishing what you start, man, you get a sense of fulfillment, a sense of satisfaction, but giving up too early brings regret. There's many things in life I regret giving up on. I think all of us have experienced walking away with a sad heart because we gave up too soon. If you're in the room tonight and you've quit on God, like the rich young ruler, man, there are things you've walked away from downhearted because you did not think you could handle it. You knew you could have done better, but you didn't. You could have given your 100%, but you only gave 70. Man, if you have given up because the circumstances have hit your life and hit you hard, man, I've got good news for you tonight. If you're thinking, Pastor Jonathan, I've already quit, I've got some good news for somebody. If you're failing to reach your God-given potential, guys, you can only improve. If you're failing to finish right now, man, some of you are in classes that you are literally failing. Can I get a witness? Don't raise your hand. Don't do that. But you're literally, there is only one way to go, and that's up. Praise the Lord. You can only do better. So I'm here tonight to tell you to pick yourself up. Don't quit. If you're failing a class or two or three, walk into that classroom tomorrow and ask your teacher for help. Tell that lady or that man, that sir, ma'am, I will turn in these late assignments if you'll let me. And guess what? If they say, no, you can't do it, it's too late. Turn them in anyways and see them give you credit. They will do it. Show them that your current circumstance is not going to stop you from trying. Get up on the inside and stop quitting. Maybe there are less academic things that you've given up hope with. Maybe your family situation has went from bad to worse. Maybe the damage has happened and there's not much hope in your heart or in your mind. I dare you tonight to go home and be kind no matter what. I dare you to go home and walk into that situation and say, I love you, even though everything in you doesn't want to say those words. I dare you to determine that you're willing and ready to make things work in your family, even if it's your own fault. I dare you to suck up your pride and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, because that can make a huge difference. That can change things if you'll allow it to. But if all you do is give up and quit, I'm never going to do that. I'm done. I'd want out. I'm sick of this. Nothing good is going to happen from that. But if you would get up on the inside, things can change. Things can happen in your life. I've come to remind someone that no matter what you're going through, God is just as concerned with you finishing as you are. He's just as concerned. I'll prove it. Philippians 1:6 promises us that he who has begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. What does that mean? That means God is going to take responsibility for your success when you do. But you have to take responsibility, real life. You have to do it. The rich young man was asking how. How do I finish? How do I get to the finish line? He got on the treadmill and he had been running a race. Praise God. The rich young man was evaluating what he had to do to ensure his future. But some of us, we're not asking the right questions, so we're not following the right answers. Some of us are asking the wrong people for advice. Some of us are seeking the wrong people for your affirmation. You're asking people who are unsuccessful how to be successful. Can you look at your best friends and see from their life experience success and growth and a future? Because if you can't, you better not be asking them for advice. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again someday. Man, you don't ask a fat person to be your personal trainer. You have got to get with people who know the right answers. So I love you guys. You are so great. It was kind of funny. That's good. All right, let's get it back. Hallelujah. Some of us live in the moment and we never look to our future. This rich young man, at least he was looking to his future. Some of y'all aren't even thinking about tomorrow. And you better start because God wants you to finish. He was saying, what do I do, Jesus? And when Jesus said, follow these commands, his response was, I've done it. Check. What else can I do? But his evaluation of himself was wrong. I'm convinced that many times the reason we give up and don't finish what's in front of us is because we think too highly of ourselves. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, don't steal, honor your father and mother. And the guy was like, I've done those perfectly in all the days of my life. Liar. He portrayed himself to be almost perfect, but when Jesus asked him to raise the standard in his life, he walked away discouraged, ready to give up. My guess is that has happened to you because I know it's happened to me. Many of us are like this young man because we think God wants what we are capable of in our own strength and in our own ability, but the reality is God wants our everything. He doesn't want just what we can actually do. He wants our whole heart. The rich young ruler made it seem like he could handle the following commandments, but simply could not handle laying down his wealth and his possessions. Man, as the band comes, as I begin to close, this should help you and I realize that the strength of our personal resolve is not determined by our personal assessment. It is determined in how we respond to the difficult moments of life. That is a powerful, profound, and difficult to understand statement. This is what it means. If you would please leave that up for just a little bit because it's a mouthful. How strong you are is not how strong you think you are. That's the translation. How strong you are is tested when you are in the heat of battle. Man, I think that I can run a mile in 7 minutes and 20 seconds. Praise God. I can think that all day long. But until I actually get on a treadmill and start running, that's when my true resolve and true strength is going to be tested. When someone who should believe in you stops believing in you, that's when your resolve starts to be tested. When you get dumped by somebody you really hope could be in your long-term future, man, that is when your strength and resolve starts to get tested. When you're in the moment of discouragement and depression, that is when your strength and resolve is tested. When you're getting close to a finish line and you don't know how you're going to make it, that is when how strong you really are will show. The conversation started with, Jesus, how do I finish? And it ends with him walking away discouraged and Jesus using it as a teaching moment for us and for those who choose to follow him. The price was too much, so he quit. Jesus ends by saying, it's hard to finish. He tells his disciples, look at this, it's hard to finish. But as I've read this passage over and over this week, God wants me to communicate this truth to everybody. The price you will be required to finish will never be more than the price you will pay if you give up. The price that you're going to need to pay to get to your finish line, I don't know what it's going to look like. But if you choose to give up on that price, you say, man, that's too expensive. That's too costly. I can't do that. I promise you, it's never going to be more than the price you will pay if you give up. It's always going to be more painful to give up too soon than to do what it takes to finish strong. Many times we give up too soon and we're giving up on what is best for our future. Our current comfort is not worth compromising our future calling. I'm going to say that again because that's good preaching. Our current comfort is not worth compromising our future calling. Man, Jubilee and I first started dating. This was a huge mistake. And it was Christmas time, and we had arranged to go on a double date with this awesome young lady named Sarah and her boyfriend. We're going to go see Christmas lights. It was awesome. We had it set, the date. We're going Friday night. Praise the Lord. It's going to be lit, literally. Christmas lit. I love Christmas lights. Next week, we might have some Christmas lights for fine arts. I don't know. I made the mistake because my ex-girlfriend sent me a message and said, hey, can we get together? Because I need to, like, have some closure with our relationship. And I'm thinking to myself, I was 18 years old. I was dumb. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I can talk to her for a couple minutes and then get myself to the lights of life and watch Christmas lights with my boo, right? Little did I know, long story short, is she came to my house with a movie and a box of popcorn. Like Orville Redenbacher, she wanted to keep it popping, baby. It was ridiculous. I had no clue. I was so naive. It was so dumb. And here's what should have happened. What should have happened is I should have dismissed her before she even got to the door. But here's what this knucklehead did. I missed the Christmas lights with Jubilee. And because that happened, long story short, Jubilee told Sarah, because she ended up being the third wheel to see Christmas lights, she told Sarah she was going to drop me like a bad habit. I was done. I messed up big, and she was not okay with it, y'all. And the appearance of the situation did not look good. I looked like a flake, and Jubilee didn't think that we could continue to be a couple. But I praise God. I pray for Sarah. We just talked to Sarah earlier this week. I thank God for Sarah because Sarah encouraged her to give me another chance. Sarah ended up being the maid of honor in our wedding, y'all. Praise God. But here's the point. Man, if Jubilee had quit on us when things looked bad, we would not have the best thing that has ever happened to us in our lives other than salvation. If she had quit before, when things got difficult, when things got tough, when I made some mistakes, man, if she had quit on us, man, we wouldn't have the best life in the world. Tonight, I want you to be encouraged. The finish line is close. Let's stand to our feet. Leaders, come quick. This is a holy moment. The finish line is close. Tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, I've come to share with somebody, it's time for you to stop thinking about quitting. It's time for you to make quitting not an option in your life. I'm here to encourage somebody who's doing poorly. Don't quit on school. Finish strong. Study and show yourself approved. I've come tonight. Some of you have health issues in the room. Some of you, you've been fighting some difficult health situations for a long time. I'm here to share with somebody, don't quit or give up on your healing. Your next prayer could be your healing. Maybe you prayed 1,000 times. Well, guess what? Maybe it's 1,001 that your healing comes. If you don't give up now, maybe it's coming tonight. I'm asking God for a miracle in this place tonight. But it's got to take you not giving up. It's got to take you saying, I don't care what it might look like. I'm going to see things for how they will be. Tonight, some of you have sin patterns and addictions that you've been fighting for a long time. Don't give up on your freedom, real life. You can do this. Don't stop trying. Breakthrough is only going to happen if you choose not to give up. The last thing I want to share is we just celebrated Easter Sunday, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was beaten. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our sins. They took a whip to his back 39 times and brought him to the brink of death. They punched him in the face so many times that his face was unrecognizable. They shoved a crown of thorns into his head so that blood would flow. They nailed him to a cross to where it was difficult to even breathe a single breath. But in that moment, he did nothing wrong. In that moment, he chose to lift up his voice to heaven and say, "Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing." And I'm here tonight to challenge somebody in this room. Jesus did not stop short of the finish line, and neither should we. Jesus didn't stop short of finishing what God had created and called him to be and do, and we shouldn't either. And I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to have a spirit of Jesus in you, that whatever hell may come your way, you're not going to give up and you're not going to give in.